Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bracket 1. You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare for March Madness, Wretched style. That's right. Just like culture, because, well, we're evangelicals, and that's what we do. We ape the culture. We would like to play not one bracket, but two brackets of which one is dopier. That's right. Yeah, let me check my notes. Which one is more ridiculous? Something like that. Jimmy, as always, you're going to represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program. I have so many stories that are cringeworthy. We're actually going to present these in two brackets. So I'll share the first bracket. You decide which one is whatever I said this is. And then the second bracket will be the same. And then we'll pick the something like that. I think that's how a basketball tournament works. It's all the rage these days, isn't it? And that leads us to story number one. And how appropriate. The Washington National Cathedral. That's Episcopalian. Sorry, I just Joe Biden'd you. The Washington National Cathedral clergy sprinkle holy water on the NCAA mascots. Well, that's just, what are we calling this? Cringeworthy?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with that. We'll see if we change the rules. Hey, rules aren't written in stone, you know. That would be patriarchal or something like that. A clergy at Washington National Cathedral sprinkled holy water on Atlantic Coast Conference mascots ahead of the ACC men's basketball tournament, which is being held in Washington, D.C., the spokesperson said, "We prayed for safety, good sportsmanship, and fun at the tournament, but noted we were pretty clear that God doesn't play favorites." That's right. They aren't going to do something trite and blasphemous. They've got some standards there at the... We're happy to report that the Baptist demon deacon from Wake Forest... Is Wake Forest Baptist?
I think it is. I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
In name only, maybe. Okay, so the Baptist demon. Why would a Baptist school have a demon for a mascot?
I don't know.
The Roman Catholic Fighting Irish Leprechaun from Notre Dame. So it's very ecumenical, which the Episcopalian Church would have no problems with. And even the Blue Devil from Duke. Well, that... Look at how charitable. Look at how gracious those Christians are.
Inclusive.
Very inclusive. You know, you don't want the demons to felt left out. And so the Blue Devil from Duke, which, by the way, I think it was Duke we visited a number of years ago. That used to have some Christian foundations, too. There's a glorious chapel, and it's so ecumenical, and it's rainbow, and it's got all the, and I mean every religion under the sun is housed underneath the chapel, which was built by white Christian men. This is what they said about the ceremony. "These mascots all felt at home inside the Episcopal Cathedral." I'm sure they did. That's story number one, Jimmy. Which one is most...
It's going to be hard to top that one.
Holy water. Well, you need that on your mascots, which aren't real things. That's what you... And speaking of March Madness, one library is offering March Meowness. That's right. See, here's the deal. I'm going to go home, and Mrs. Friel is going to say, "So what'd you do today?"
Well, you're going to have to repeat it.
We talked about March Meowness because we're adults in America. The library has March Meowness. You say, "What's a March Meowness?" Well, the library, which apparently, I don't know if they provide kitty litter or not, they allow patrons to pay fees with cat pictures. This was at upi.com, and they did not explain why this Massachusetts library allows the people who took books, they're lost, they're damaged, whatever, to bring in a cat picture. I have no idea why either. The library's website clarified the program is not limited to images of felines. We'll accept honorary cats as well, so you may show us a picture of or drawing of a dog, raccoon, orca, capybara, or any other animal. Excuse me, then why do you have March Meowness? Oh, I know why, because we wouldn't even want to be reasonable and rational enough to say that if we're going to forgive fees by drawing pictures of cats, we need to be inclusive. It can't just be cats. We'll call it a cat thing, but you can bring a dog or an orca or a capybara, which sounds kind of like a New Zealand thing. Do you want to look that up, Jimmy? Capybara sits in the old gum tree. I think that's what it is. C-A-P-Y-B-A-R-A. Capybara is also an acceptable way to get your fines done, but it's New Zealand. I just read that the largest Christian bookseller chain is shuttering up. Now, they're going to keep selling them online. It's a 14-store chain, as I recall, and they are no longer going to be doing the brick-and-mortar business. It's all going to be online, which I don't think really has huge implications. That's just the way the culture has gone. I'm shocked that Barnes & Noble are still in business. I'm amazed anybody goes to a bookstore. I'm even more amazed when people actually buy stuff there, because it's probably going to be cheaper if you shop it online. Nevertheless, in New Zealand, they're closing down the Christian bookstores, but at least they still have capybaras. Right, Jimmy?
No, it's native to South America.
That's what I said.
In Brazil.
No.
Brazil.
I'm a talk show host, man.
That's right.
I said something. What is a capybara?
It is a rodent, the largest living rodent and member of that thing. It's kind of like the chinchilla.
Okay. And nobody knows what it is in America, unless, of course, you happen to be a member of the Massachusetts Library that has March Meowness. That story number two, they can't even keep it exclusive, because that would be discriminatory, what that would be. Story number three, forgive me for this, but it's actually a thing from the Christian Post. The Department of Justice in Utah is going after the Utah Department of Corrections. Why? They're claiming that the prison system, the UDOC, discriminated against a fellow who thought he was a she, and they didn't rush to provide him the medical treatment that he was hoping for, and he ultimately he took care of that transition himself. Let's leave it at that. And now the prison is being sued by the Utah Department of Justice because they violated the Americans with Disabilities Act. What? Disability? You're special and amazing if you think you're another gender. But nevertheless, by failing to provide the unidentified prisoner's requested hormone therapy, the UDOC is going to have to pay damages to the inmate who did that to himself. In January, the DOJ issued a statement of interest explaining that gender dysphoria qualifies as a disability under the ADA. That seems judgmental. And it seems that we're stereotyping people and putting them into categories that I don't think provides for the respect that every autonomous self deserves, or something like that. That the correctional facility failed to provide gender-affirming care are violating the Eighth Amendment. Oh, I see. You know, the Eighth Amendment, the right to change your gender. Jimmy, what is the Eighth Amendment? Does it have anything to do with a chinchilla in South America?
I don't think so.
Well, that would be story number three. If you'd be kind enough, I guess I should know. You know, once upon a time, I think American citizens had to know these things. Doesn't matter no more. But don't you fret. Our border has never been more secure. So I'm told. Story number four. Let's go to Alaska, shall we? You wouldn't think Alaska. This is Fairbanks, Alaska. a woman at a Planet Fitness. Went to Planet Fitness in the women's locker room, which is kind of funny because I've been to a Planet Fitness and they've got a men's locker room and a women's locker room. I don't know why, because you can go into whatever you want. She actually took a picture of a dude standing in front of the mirror with the sink, shaving. The dude's shaving. And the woman took a picture. He's wrapped in a towel, shaving. She takes a picture. She complains. And you know what happens? She got scolded by Planet Fitness. This is such a hoot because I was just in one. And they've got this, hey, this is the judgment-free zone. Unless, of course, you judge somebody. Jimmy, that's story number four. Story number one, the cathedral sprinkling holy water on the mascots. You got March Meowness at the Massachusetts Library, the DOJ suing the prison system because, well, we all know. And finally, Planet Fitness discriminating against somebody who is discriminatory. Which one of these is the winner? Not going to tell you. Because this is merely bracket one. Jimmy will determine the winner and then we'll introduce. This is exciting. Place your bets now for Wretched March Madness next on Wretched Radio.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the realities of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is teaching, the spiritual ability to explain and apply God's word. A teacher studies to gain knowledge of the Bible, is equipped with wisdom to understand it, and is gifted with the ability to explain it to others so they can grow in God's truth and apply it to their daily life.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
March Madness. I'll say this is Wretched Radio playing one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which story is kookiest? That's right. Jimmy has listened to the four stories participating in bracket one of Wretched March Madness. So which one is madness? This, I guess, is the name of the game that we're actually playing. Jimmy, you heard the four stories. It is your job to determine who wins bracket number one. Is it the Washington National Cathedral sprinkling holy water on basketball mascots? Number two, March Meowness at a Massachusetts library for forgiving fines by drawing cat pictures. See, I honestly, this is just me. And that if somebody brought in a picture of a cat, I'd actually charge them more. But that's me. It's all about perspective. In Utah, the DOJ claims that the prison system drove a trans inmate to alter his body. And therefore, they've broken the Eighth Amendment, which, of course, well, if I shared it, it'll just look like bragging. Jimmy, tell everybody what the Eighth Amendment is.
It is it's about the federal criminal justice system, and it's about imposing excessive bail or excessive fines or the cruel and unusual punishment.
Ah.
Yeah.
So not neutering the fellow is cruel. Now, wait a second. See, I would think that cruel, unusual would be to do that to a human being.
Yeah.
But no, not in America in 2024. Instead, it's cruel, unusual if you don't do that. Are we all tracking with how the world now works? Isn't this similar to the story? Isn't this the analogous to parents who refuse to let their children go through some sort of transition, even though we know there is no such thing, that they're the ones who are cruel for not letting their kids do it. They're the bad parents. They're not safe. They're the judgmental ones. And therefore, it's the school system which shelters it from parents allowing their kids to go through these treatment. They're the heroes. Isn't this similar to the language that gets used for abortion? That it's reproductive health care? By the way, Kamala Harris visited a Planned Parenthood in St. Paul, Minnesota, on her reproductive rights tour. So let me get this straight. A procedure that enters a woman and rips the limbs off of the baby residing in her womb, vacuums whatever is left out, and then has to place all of these bits and parts onto a tray to reassemble it to make sure they got all the parts. Oh, that's the nice thing to do. I get it. I'm tracking. Honestly, what's next? Arsenic. It's one of the best vitamins that anybody can take. I thought that killed you. No, not in America. What you think it is, isn't. This is all of this language jockeying that's taking place. George Orwell, anybody? The taking words, twisting them, having them mean something else. It sure does feel like 1984. Jimmy, the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual. The DOJ saying the prison system, they're guilty of it. That's story number three. Finally, Planet Fitness up there in Fairbanks, Alaska. They shamed a woman, took away her membership. By the way, if you're not familiar with the rules, this is subject to Section 3 above. All members, including transgender members, may use Planet Fitness locker room facilities and programs based on their self-reported gender identity. I'm the king of Tasmania! These facilities include bathrooms, showers, and other facilities separated by sex. Is that the right word? Wherever possible, Planet Fitness clubs should maintain private changing areas in each locker room for the comfort of all members. Oh, that's got to go, too. I'm amazed that they allow that. Unisex bathrooms can also be made available. Here it comes. Some members may feel uncomfortable with a transgender member using the same locker room facilities. Can you imagine that you'd feel uncomfortable with that? You would think like they're shame or something. Or any sort of perversion going on. It's crazy. And so you might not feel comfortable using the same bathroom showers. This discomfort is not a reason to deny access to the transgender member. Romans 1, anyone? Jimmy, that's bracket number one. Which story is the wackiest?
Well, if we were going to base it on title alone, it would be March Meownis.
March Meownis?
No.
Okay, sorry. But we're explaining the process.
That's right. We're considering the details of the story. Right. So I would say story number three.
Story number three, the prison thing?
Yes.
That's the government. That's the highest level. I'm telling you, you could sit in a closet with a box of crack for 6 weeks and never come up with the next nonsense that the Romans 1 world will produce. You can't do it. Well, maybe you can. I've tried. I can't. I'm like, okay, what would be like the stupidest thing that you could? Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. This is what needs to happen. There are some people. They foot shame. They make fun of other people's little piggies. And this protected class of people, they need equality. So we are going to start providing surgery to put their hands on their feet and their feet on the ends of their arms. That's justice. And you go, well, that's just like stupid. Yeah, I'd say it is. That's bracket number one, Jimmy. Are you ready for bracket number two?
I am.
I don't know how much of this I can take, frankly. This is the Gospel Coalition in Australia. Title of the article. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. The gospel in Taylor Swift lyrics. Oh, see what they did there? They took Taylor Swift and then they just cherry picked a line here and there to put it together to present the gospel. I'm sure that's what she had in mind. And I'm sure all of these lines that might actually have some truth in them, or if she intended to just sneak the gospel in there, even though her concerts are kind of demonic. Well, this is, okay, I think I can do this, Jimmy. Have you figured out yet who my favorite singer is? Oh, man, you should know by now.
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to do the gospel according to Elvis, off the cuff.
Okay.
For real? Do you do anything there that's not off the cuff? No, we don't. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. See, that's your total depravity. Crying all the time. That's repentance. 2 Corinthians 7. And you've been caught in a trap. That's Galatians 6, 1. Don't you know? And Kentucky rain has fallen down. Something like you go, what are you doing? Compiling a bunch of random lyrics to present the gospel. The answer is you'll have to ask the Gospel Coalition in Australia. This thing goes on for days. I kid you not. This individual who apparently has so much free time that there are, I kid you not, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, one of the lines actually has the word God in there, but it's blasphemy. No, I couldn't read this. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's like 35 verses. Does this guy not need to make a living? That's story number, what story is it? Number one in bracket two?
Right, yes.
I knew this would be a mess. There's math involved. British Museum warns that paintings of the countryside can evoke dark nationalistic feelings. Ho, ho, ho. You don't want that. That's story number three. The details would just make your eyes cross. Hey, PETA being very successful. That was story number two. Pete in bracket number two. Ooh, I should have paid attention in geology. PETA pressures First Lady Jill Biden to swap eggs for potatoes at annual Easter egg roll for a spectacular. I don't like Easter eggs in the first place, but that ain't the point. They think that Easter eggs are a part of the program so that they can do anything they want to without any regard to Christianity. If they did something, now please note, Easter eggs aren't a part of Easter. I'd like to get rid of all of that. The bunny, the whole business, the chocolate, just get rid of it all. It has nothing to do with the most important date in human history. If they did something like this to Ramadan, woo! But in America, when it comes to Christianity, that ain't no problem. That's story number three. Jimmy, who's the winner? Story number one is gospel calling.
You can't get any worse than that.
That wins? Yeah. All right, then here's what we got. So which one is the winner of the national finals of the NW, the wretched madness of March business? Is it the DOJ in Utah or Taylor Swift lyrics to present the gospel?
Yeah, when you start messing with the gospel, that's
a little, the one right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
That is, you know what? Well, see, Jimmy, this is why
you be the judge.
Because you actually probably put too much thought into all of this, because it's absolutely bonkers. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start in Nashville, where the police department has been redefining strength and agility. How so? Well, they have revised their recruiting standards. The goal? A more gender-diverse force by 2030. The initiative aims to boost the percentage of female officers. So the physical agility test is not quite as stringent as it once was, so more female officers could make the force. I'm not real sure how that makes me feel. And moving to Missouri, where the Battle of Children's Books has taken a turn. Democratic officials in Kansas City decided to mark National Reading Day by delving into the world of teddy bear gender identity. Yeah, these are trans-identifying books. They wanted to read to the young minds. Gotta love our politicians, huh? And from books to more serious matters, a troubling scenario unfolds in Maryland where a principal's actions against a Jewish teacher have sparked a lot of controversy, as they should have. The teacher penalized for highlighting anti-Semitic remarks during a pro-Palestinian protest found herself entangled in some administrative deceit. School leadership actually told some untruths in order to get this woman in trouble because, well, she's Jewish. I'm not sure that one is going to go away quietly. And lastly, a contentious battle in Montana has put parental consent for minors who want to seek abortions under the microscope. It seems Planned Parenthood opposes a law that would limit minors from seeking abortions without their parents knowing. Of course they do. They want anyone at any age to be able to murder their innocent unborn child. That's how they make money. And if they can't get it there, they'll get it out of our tax dollars, won't they? And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let me walk that back. This is Wretched Radio. For a long time, a personal pet peeve has been individuals with whom you're engaging in conversation that suddenly feel compelled to just look at their phone and then just tap onto it, whatever it happens to be, as if it's more important than you talking to that person. I shouldn't have been so uptight about that. So let me just walk that back. And if you don't mind, I'm going to check a text right now from Jimmy Hicks. You see, I would hate to be hypocritical is what I'd hate to be. You just sent a text. Well, I can't describe this text. March meownas. It is a cat playing bagpipes in a Scottish kilt.
Because you love cats and bagpipes.
Can you put it together? This would be Dante's third ring, if I'm not mistaken. Thanks for that wonderful meme there, Jimmy. Got to share with you some of the details from the British Museum, stating that there are paintings of the countryside that can evoke dark nationalistic feelings. Like, dark nationalistic feelings? Like what? Like looking back and saying, that's my history. That's the nation that produced me. Those are bad things these days. Cambridge at the Fitzwilliam Institution rural paintings can stir dark emotions. Quote, the new signage states the pictures of rolling English hills can stir feelings of pride toward a homeland. No, we can't have pride toward a homeland. That's right. In a gallery displaying a bucolic work by Constable, visitors are informed that there's a darker side to the nationalist feeling evoked by images of the British countryside. It states the national sentiment comes with the implication that only those with a historical tie to the land have a right to belong. Oh, is that what it's... That's why those guys made those paintings. To keep people out. Ah, you weren't born on this land. You're not white. May this painting forever help you to feel third class. I think that's pretty much what they were thinking. A sign from the Nature Gallery states landscape paintings were always entangled with national identity. Well, how's about they're a painting of the countryside? And even if it is connected with national identity, probably a social construct, nevertheless, what's the problem here? Oh, yeah, we don't want countries and nations anymore. The countryside was seen as a direct link to the past and therefore a true reflection of the essence of a nation. Because, you know, everybody who lived before us, they were awful. I don't know if you've heard, but they were just terrible and everything that they produced, abominable. You know, all those bridges, roads, museums, hospitals, universities, you know, all of those mathematical formulas, all bad. All stupid. All done. Paintings showing rolling English hills or lush French fields reinforce loyalty and pride toward a homeland. Oh, we wouldn't want to have that now, will we? In fact, as long as we're in Great Britain, a number of stories coming out of Great Britain, they are ahead of America right now when it comes to wokeness and CRT application. We aren't far behind, but I'm telling you, a lot of stuff is going on right now in Great Britain that should cause a lot of us to go, is this what's coming our way? And the answer is probably. Retired British woman on trial for holding sign offering to talk to women considering abortion. The woman's name is Livia, and her... Oh, you know what? I'm going to walk this back. This woman is E-V-I-L, terrible. Jimmy, wait. Her sign. It said, here to talk if you want. Listen. What? How could... Do? Near an abortion facility in Bournemouth, England. Local authorities confronted her, alleging she'd breached a local abortion buffer zone and issued a fixed penalty notice, which she actually refused to pay. You need to know that in 2023, the UK government passed legislation in the Public Order Act to reinforce sensorial buffer zones around all abortion facilities. In other words, judgment, anything that's a judgment, and I love this. It bans any form of influence, whether positive or negative. Sure. I know they've got problems with those people that make signs and go to abortion clinics that say, you go, girl, you go. They would not put up with that monkey business. That's what's going on in the UK. But wait, there's... Wait a second. In Canada, that's a lot like Great Britain. There's, I think, a similar... Yeah, okay, speech crimes. Here it is. Canadian law would allow judges to hand down life sentences for speech crimes. This hasn't gone through yet. The Queen Justine of Canada, in its seemingly limitless power to impose the will on Canadians, isn't enough. It's a new hate speech law. This is from Not the Bee. Is billed as a protection of children would criminalize speech in Canada to an even greater degree. It's Bill C-53. The details don't matter. What matters is a government that's saying, we're going to control your speech. We're not going to let you say everything that you think. So it's not free speech at all. But back to Great Britain. we go in Trafalgar Square. That's in London. There were some statues of Christians. They're coming down. I this is a medium that doesn't allow you to see what the these statues in Trafalgar Square were replaced with. They couldn't be more ridiculous. That they couldn't be more awful looking, lacking in any artistic value whatsoever. They are just hideous, and that is by design. Statues say something. So does architecture. I listened to a little bit. It's about the 30-minute mark. It's actually worth hearing. It was Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo sat down to have a gentlemanly conversation, and it was gentlemanly. I thought one individual had his facts straighter than the other, of course, and his positions more fixed and far less assailable. Nevertheless, for some reason, Tucker Carlson went on a rant about brutalism, this architecture that just sucks the life out of humanity, because you go into this place that has no artistic value. It doesn't transcend. It doesn't lift up. It says you're a worker. Cog, get your job done. Architecture speaks. That's why you see these buildings that go up. What is that doing here? Why did they? They're making a statement. And that statement is being made in Trafalgar Square. Here are the details. That the statues were of individuals. That's right, who were missionaries. A bronze and blue homage to a metropolitan woman of color, and Andra Ursada's resin sculpture of a horse and a rider, not thrown into the sea, but covered in a shroud. They were the winners, and they are quite ugly. Really, I'm sorry. I know we're not supposed to judge anything, unless, of course, you judge, then we'll judge you for judging. These things are ridiculous. They are horrible looking. Now, we, I guess, should be grateful because there were a couple of runners up for the hideous replacement statues in Trafalgar Square. Now, for instance, one of the losers, that doesn't seem very 2024, a giant sweet potato and a colorful ice cream van. They didn't make the cut. Instead, guys who were Baptist missionaries to Africa get chopped down. And these statues, by the way, were pleasing to the eye. The replacements are hideous to the eye. And we call it art. And then we call you a dodo who doesn't get it because why? Because why? Because the statue and the artwork that is nonsensical, the painting that is nothing but a splatter that you're supposed to interpret, it's a message of deconstructionism, that all of the stuff that we used to make that we thought was noble and lofty just got to go. Forget the Baptist missionary part. If it's a statue that's pretty, that was made by those people who were idiots, who don't understand what we know today, that there needs to be a breaking down of the hegemony, and we've got to have everybody exactly the same. So we got to tear everything down that existed. I don't know if you listened to the conversation between Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo. It was a lengthy conversation, and Tucker Carlson got off about the 30-minute mark, a screed about brutalism, the architectural style that you see and go, what was the point of that? It's just brutal. It drains the life out of a human. It doesn't transcend and lift up and say, hey, you're important. We want you to see nice stuff. It just says you're a cog. You're a worker. Why do we see brutalism? Why do we see horrible statues being put up, replacing pretty ones? Deconstruction. This is Wretched Radio. Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and listen, and each and every one of you who have supported us previously. Now, I want to take a moment and ask if you would consider, prayerfully consider, joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Imagine the impact we could have together with your ongoing support. I'm talking reaching millions of people all over the world with the life-changing gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." So standing firm is not just a posture, it is a partnership in the gospel that moves mountains, that changes hearts, and saves souls. So if you're in a good place right now in your life, you're giving to your local church, then we would ask if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the answers to all of the questions you could possibly ever have at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A colossal waste? This is Wretched Radio. Are you familiar with the American Bible Society? They've been around for a long time. They had a plan to open up a museum. Where? In Philadelphia. Where else? Independence Mall. Perfect. Expecting to draw 250,000 visitors a year to see Bibles. And it bombed. Bigly. Instead of receiving 250,000 visitors a year, the revenue from ticket sales shows 5,400 visitors in the year 2022. I grant you, COVID was a part of it, but 5,400 versus 250,000? The tickets are $10, and they could not drag people into a Bible museum. And it's, I didn't tour it. I suspect it's probably like the Bible Museum in Washington that has some less than stellar commentaries. Nevertheless, the Bible Museum that they had built in Philadelphia, a huge Bible museum, $60 million, called the Faith and Liberty Discovery Center. I'm not sure. Faith and Liberty? Faith and Liberty? I know you're in Philadelphia. So America, the Bible, I see what they're up to. Nevertheless, it was to connect the Bible with the influences of Christianity on the United States. Had lots of potential, flopped. And one of the individuals who worked there, undisclosed, it was a colossal waste. And that might seem to be a bit of a small story, but I think it's actually bigger than what meets the eye. How can a Bible museum, how can anything, an independent, right in the heart, it's right in the guts of the city, an Independence Mall, that's like Touristville. And people wouldn't part with $10 to go see Bibles and the influence of Christianity on Western civilization. Now, this is what I think they should have done. This, see, I can actually fix the problem and maybe keep these people from tearing down the museum. This is what I think they need to do. They need to add some other books. They need to add like some American authors that are super popular. You know, maybe some mystery novels could be added in. They could have a mystery book wing is what they could have in there. They could have romance novel. Boom. Jimmy, this is strong. They should have contacted us. And of course, we should probably put the pornography wing in there because, hey, that's free speech and that's art, don't you know? And by the way, if you haven't heard what's going on in Texas, the Texas legislature decided, there's got to be some way to keep kids off of Pornhub. And so they came up with some sort of legislation that did just that. And Pornhub said, well, we're just going to not allow anything in Texas. You don't want the kids to watch it? Well, we won't let the adults watch it either. And what are they saying? It's a violation of artistic expression. In other words, you people who don't want children to look at filthy images are violating our constitutional rights. Staggering. Pornhub said, that's ineffective, haphazard, and dangerous. And it'll also inevitably reduce content creators' ability. I'm sorry. I feel for these people. Content creators' ability to post and distribute legal adult content directly impact their ability to share the artistic messages they want to convey. These poor people. 8 states have passed similar legislation. You might want to know they're Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, North Carolina, Utah, and Virginia. Which means if there's ever going to be some sort of secession in America, if I were a bet man, I might put my money on those states. Now, in response to that, I don't quite understand this. I'm not technological at all. I'm not even attracted to shiny objects. The VPN searches, the virtual private network searches, soared when Pornhub decided we're not going to let anybody in Texas watch our artistic content. So all the men had to go scrambling to find another way to get their fix of pornography. Artistic expression. If I said to you, we need to add all of those wings and divisions to the almost now defunct American Bible Society Museum of the Bible in Independence Mall in Philadelphia, you would say, well, hold on a second. Why do you think you need to add those things? Well, we got to get people to come. They're not interested in the Bible. So we need to present other forms of literature. There could, Jimmy, I think a Sudoku? Is that? That's artistic. That's literature. I guess a crossword puzzle that's got words in it. So we will have a crossword section where the people who pay $10 to come thinking they're going to have to endure nothing but Bibles, they can play a crossword. That would pull them right out of the fire. And you say, what are you going on about, Friel? I'm talking about the seeker-sensitive movement in America. I'm talking about the churches that do the very thing that I am jesting about, that we take the Sunday morning service and we gussy it up to attract the world, that we, apparently not believing the Bible and certainly the contents of the Bible are interesting enough for people, we turn it into a whoop-de-doo fest. Zing, zing, pow, pow, got to get the folks to come. It is called the seeker-sensitive movement, and it works if your goal, of course, is numbers and revenue generation. It works. You know the history. It was introduced by Robert Schuller. It was picked up by Rick Warren. Bill Hybels jumped onto the seeker-sensitive train. Maybe he was even before Rick Warren. to go out to the community of pagans and say, what's it going to take to get you in here? What do you need to be amused on Sunday morning? And the answer was that Bible thing. Let's just keep the dust on it and let it sit on the shelf. So we don't use Bibles. It's not the foundation of a sermon. It's merely a springboard for life hacks. And then, of course, there's the big show, the music. It's got to be rocking. It's got to be thumping. It certainly cannot be lofty, transcendent. It's got to have a lot of noise to it because I need something. And just, I was thinking about when I was a kid. Yep. When I was a kid, thousands, I kid you not, thousands. I went to thousands of church services. You say, you're exaggerating. I'm telling you, no, I'm not. From ninth grade on, I went to chapel twice a day, Monday through Friday, once on Saturday, and then, of course, church on Sunday. Now, you add that up for 8 years, and that gives you a whole lot, I think about 3,000 church services, and not once did anybody need to get up front. Come on, everybody. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, church. How's everybody doing this? Not once. And it's funny. People actually sang. But today, because we're such a short attention span society and a consumer-driven society, there's got to be more than just lyrics. There's got to be more than just singing theology. I need more stimulation than that. And we give it to them. And so we come up with these repetitious, mind-numbing, catchy choruses to keep people engaged because otherwise they won't come. Now, what are the implications of this? Now, we could, of course, conclude that American society is filled with people with a consumer-driven mindset. That is most certainly true. We all have that propensity, don't we? Come on, let's be honest. You go visit a church, you judge it. Let's be honest. We all do it. Sometimes quite sinfully. And we could talk about the short attention spans, yep, and a lack of understanding of any sort of musical sophistication that might be a loftier offering for our lofty, transcendent God, yep. But what does it say about those who are running those shows? It says we're not confident in our source material. The very book that establishes why we're here, it is not enough. Furthermore, what God has determined as elements that he wants in his worship, that ain't going to do the trick. So in come movie clips, all kinds of props and whiz-bangery, pastors ziplining into a church. Well, what are they saying? They're saying, we just don't think that God is interesting enough. And I would respond and say, if you can't present God as being interesting enough, you ain't qualified. And that's the state of the church. And perhaps that screed is somewhat familiar. But I would ask all of us, it's not just the world that has that propensity to desire elements inside of congregational worship that are more than just mental engagement, they have more stimuli. We all have a propensity for that, don't we? And so I wonder, just wonder, if all of us perhaps need to consider how we are judging our own churches. How are you assessing the church? Is it built on how perhaps entertained you were, or is it on how God himself was presented? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.